You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence is brought to you today from the stolen lands, the Wathaurong and the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nations. I would like to pay my respects to any First Nations listeners listening in today and to all the elders past, present and emerging. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Slums in some metropolitan centres are coming down, condemned by forward-looking civic governments. Down are coming the bad living conditions that produce bad citizens.
The practical uses of asbestos are very numerous. At least 18,000 articles are made of it.
In the spring, the nature-loving Australian goes bush. The wife washes and the dishes dry themselves.
Amy is a serial pest.
Cities within cities, scientifically planned and built, where a man and his family with a small income can live with comfort and dignity as investments in democracy.
Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence. A show about how we live in the cities and suburbs and the ideologies behind them. Fridays every fortnight at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 3CR 855 AM.
From the rubbish tip to you.
And out of the rubbish tip and straight to your ears is me, Amy, with a show that's all about how we can share and care for one another and look after our planet. Whether that be getting to know your neighbours and getting involved in community events and activism or literally kicking down some fences and finding ways to live in more sustainable and shared collective ways. That's what this show is all about. And today on the show, I guess we've got a very kick your fence day, because we're going to start off with some recordings I made at a screening of Our Warrior, the story of Ruby Thorpe at Geelong Platform Arts. After we watched the film, we got treated to a panel discussion that featured Uncle Ruby alongside local First Nations activists in Geelong area, Julie Saylor Briggs and Travis Lovett of Yuruk, and Damien Bell, CEO of the First Peoples Assembly for Victoria. After the panel discussion, we moved to some impressions I got from the audience, how they were feeling after the film. And Uncle Robbie was so inspiring that a number of people joined the local organizing group that worked with Platform Arts and Our Warrior to put the film up in Geelong, which is called Be True to Uluru, which is a community coalition led by First Nations people and aunties in coalition with the Geelong community, fighting for truth and justice in Geelong. So all in all, a very successful night and an inspiring night that lit a fire in people to take action and walk alongside First Nations people. So without further ado, we're going to go to the panel discussion, and then after that, we'll hear the interviews with the audience. One of the things I've always wanted to highlight with this show is the importance of on-ramps, events like this that inspire and educate people and lead them to doing more, lead them to getting involved. And I think that this is a really successful event in that regard. And it was also a good event at giving away a lot of 3CR flyers on First Nations programming. So I'm hoping that the people who got inspired at the event also walked away with a bunch of shows, especially Uncle Robbie's shows, are now listening to that and are now hearing more of that truth-telling, more of that education that is so sorely missed in our media landscape. And if perchance you want to support 3CR in its fight for truth and justice in this very censored and propaganda-laden illegal settler occupation, then please consider, if you haven't already, donating to Radiothon. we still have not hit our station's target of 270,000. So we still have some ways to go. We're getting close. We're almost there. But if you haven't donated, anything is appreciated. You know, I reckon if everyone who listened to 3CR donated like $2, we would smash that target. But actually, this humble little show has actually done quite well so far. I have some good news, which is that I was set the target to raise $750 for the station. And somehow I have well and truly gone a lot higher than that, which is, I'm still kind of speechless and not sure, like, wow. Just, you know, because I've only done like a handful of episodes, so, but I really appreciate all those that donated, and I'm just going to do a quick shout out of the people that donated, starting with Rye from Pasco Vale, Jade, friend of the show and former guest from Brunswick West, Joe from Music Matters, Zoe from Coburg, Comrade Brendan, Anu from Coburg, Willow, friend of the show and former guest, Nikki from Preston, Dex from Rahu, Inez from Coburg, David Giles, another former guest and friend of the show from Brunny, Raccoon Club from Preston, Stephanie from Flowerdale, Teak, former guest with Jade, Anonymous, thank you Anonymous for that generous donation of $111, and of course my beloved co-host from Local Food Connections and Stanley, thank you for that lovely donation. Meg, our station manager here at 3CR. Raya, our beloved techie here at 3CR. Uncle Taljim, thank you so much, Uncle Taljim. And Michaela, our wonderful station programmer. What a list of people! Wow, thank you all so much for your kind donations. You all donated so generously, and anything really is a great contribution to this wonderful place called 3CR Community Radio. So without further ado, let's listen to that panel with Julie Saylor Briggs, Duran Bungellini, aka Uncle Robbie Thorpe, Travis Lovett from the Yurok Justice Commission, and Damien Bell of the First Peoples Assembly of so-called Victoria.
Robbie, you spoke about genocide and ecocide. Together, walking together, they're intertwined. And the premise of Black Power here on Kulin Lands, could I ask you to just share a little bit about that? We're very big into sustainability and love of country here, and be on the journey of justice as a warrior, how they come together.
I just might add that there's a parallel between the genocide, the ecocide, and suicide, unfortunately. That's where we're sort of heading on this planet, what I was saying to me. But I don't think I knew anything different other than, you know, being involved in the struggle. I was fortunate enough to be in a, you know, a very strong family and community, and grow up with people like, you know, the likes of Gary Fively and Bruce McGuinness and other strong elders at that time. So that's what we're all talking about. Our rights in this country. So it's an understanding of that. So that's what led me into it. I didn't know much about, you know, the Black Power in America. I knew about the idea of it even more. It's what drove me, I suppose. I wanted to see justice for my people. And, it was pretty bleak looking. Our people way back then, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, when I was young, I could sense it there, how our people were being treated, you know. So I wanted to do something about it. But even if it's myself, I want to have a go at it.
Thank you.
the Black Power.
Yeah, we are Black Power. Travis, talk about Black Power. The war for truth in this state has been what? Friggin' amazing, hasn't it? Yay! Yeah. Well, colonial brutality all the way to now, all the way to the big colonial building. Travis, what, how has this been for you, and why was this the thing that Travis loved had to do?
Yeah, really good question. I think I'll just add on to complement what I'm saying. We've heard really strong evidence, particularly about our language. And Aunty Vicky Cousins come to speak the language of the Commission, and also wanted to add on, talked about genocide and also ecocide, and Aunty Vicky Cousins describe the linguicide for our language. You know, and that's the complement what I'm saying, not to undermine. And there's really strong evidence from that, you know, around the role of the missions and the segregation that had happened in the government policy. And I think I just want to say really about, you know, the work that this commission's done. We've trailed through 10,000 documents from the state government throughout these 4 years. We've extracted through the powers of a royal commission 10,000 documents. Sometimes that's been hard, sometimes that's been easy to get, but also sometimes we've had to push back as well. But again, this is the importance around wanting to come together, wanting to share the truths that we've heard. We've heard a lot of strong truths in that in the documentary there, walking, talking, and living truth as well. So that's why I really wanted to do this walk for truth, to highlight the lived experience of our people. But this is not stories. This is the lived experience of our people that we are sharing, but also who were strongly represented through the documentary just there as well. It's facts and evidence, and I think this is a really important point that I always continue to make. Again, it's a lived experience of our people. It's not passed down stories of mythological things that we think happened to us. It's the continuation. It's the fact that, you know, in this commission in the Land and Justice hearings, we highlighted that $267 billion has been extracted from this country in gold, and zero of that directly was given back to MOB in the last 13 years in the water sector. You know, $83 billion worth of water, and it falls out of the sky. The state government generates $83 billion, and our people don't see any of that directly. And this is just facts and evidence. There's this misconception that we get everything. We have to fight and agitate and so forth as well. So getting a bit detracted from the point around the walk here, but it's about bringing everyone together. You heard strongly in that video, unity, coming together. We need people to walk with us. This is exactly what the Walk for Truth is about, coming together, sharing the truth. Let's not shy away from the truth. Truth, justice, healing, underpinned by hope. That's what I say. It's not too different to what I'm saying. It's obviously different words, but similar process. The principle still applies.
Thanks, Aaron. You know, this publication speaks of Australia having hope and then having hopelessness. And talking about hopelessness in terms of, you know, the outcome of that awful referendum, whether it was needed or not. But having hope is really critical. It's very important. You all have reconciliation in your hearts. A lot of you are part of reconciliation groups. You know, reconciliation is across 28 countries in the world. Wherever the colonists have gone, they've had to go back to question the legacy that they left other Indigenous peoples in their own countries. So reconciliation is not Victorian, nor is it Australian. It is very much colonial. And I want to drop that in the ocean so you can have a think about what decolonisation means at the end of the road. Reconciliation perhaps has had its day. These are the things you need to consider if you want to speak truth. And justice. You want to address the genocide. Let's address the genocide that did occur. Let's keep reconciliation as part of treaty, as part of truth, in countries that have been ceded, as opposed to another nicely bowed up, lovely morning tea event where voices don't mean anything and truth is not in the room. Just to do that, reconciliation stuff, and that's why we're here too. But without truth, reconciliation is just a morning tea. Okay? Damien, I've known this fellow for a little while now. You are the CEO of First People's Assembly, been there a year and a bit, 2 years?
Yeah.
Would you like to share with us why First People's Assembly is here and what we're going to do?
I will do that. I love doing that, but I'm also just loving you at the moment. I remember you as teenagers and you're now 30. Yes. The First People's Assembly of Victoria is grounded in self-determination. It's incredible. 18 months ago, I was working down on country, living and working down on Wurundjeri country, looking after the Bajpim World Heritage landscape, healing Lake Conda with water, the return of water, all of that. And then this treaty process in Victoria, always believed in it, couldn't believe how far it's advanced. Through the self-determination of our own cultural democracy. We've still got to work on that. But First People's Assembly of Victoria has been going since 2019. And I just want to acknowledge and honour Aunty Jill Gallagher as the Treaty Advancement Commissioner back then. This cultural democracy brought together 33 representatives from across the state, all traditional owners in Victoria. And what they did still astounds me in regards to the doctrine of our truth, voice and treaty. From those 33 people, always engaged with the mobs, they designed the Yurok Truth and Justice Commission, they designed the Self-Determination Fund to give our mobs equal standing for when our traditional owner groups go in to negotiate their own treaty, or this first treaty. With our statewide treaty and also the initial traditional owner treaties that are coming up. When we talk treaty at Assembly, we talk about many treaties. We talk about treaty chapters that are coming up. It's resetting that relationship that we have with the Crown and with their asserted sovereignty. At Assembly, again, it's our cultural democracy. The first team turned, built, designed and built everything from self-determination. In the same breath, I'll acknowledge the current state government that we have because they responded to those decades and decades and decades of call for treaty, for our community's call for treaty. This second, the current assembly that we have, it's charged with negotiating a treaty, which is very important. The next assembly will be there to, to operate the treaty, the first treaty, the statewide treaty. It's coming very soon. It's nearly here. I can't really tell you that, but believe me. It really is. And just this.
You were just listening just then to Damien Bell from a panel discussion along with Robbie Thorpe, Travis Lovett, and Julie Saylor Briggs at a Geelong screening of Our Warrior, the story of Robbie Thorpe. This is Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence on 3CR 855 on your AM dial. Stay where you are because after this break, we're going to go straight back to Damien and the rest of the panel.
3CR Radiothon 2025, your station, your voice.
For the month of June, we're asking listeners to donate to the station to help keep us going. We rely on the generous donations of the community to survive. Go to 3cr.org.au/donate and show your support for community-owned and community-run media.
3CR. Stay tuned, stay radical.
We demand the full restoration of all Indigenous lands and resources, and we demand the immediate cessation of all forms of exploitation and destruction of our lands.
We're here to remind you of our sovereignty and our original demand from day one.
It started with intentional genocide of our people around the round table in England. It's all lies here. Everything's a lie. It's a great opportunity right now to step into a sovereign, independent republic.
We demand a treaty. We demand our lands back. We demand to stop Black Death in custody.
I'm just the CEO of 33 bosses, plus a ton of aunties and uncles, and a mother. What's been built, and again, fortunate, I find myself fortunate coming down off 20 years of looking after Budge Bin, the mob, building it up there, so we have the opportunity for our people to live on country, to work on country, to practice culture, to love the land, to let the land love them. It's been wonderful down there. To come into this job, it's the hardest job, but it's the most deadliest job in the world, because we have this self-determined democracy at this stage of our journey. And what is wonderful is to see all this education, this learning from this fellow here, from his mother, from his grandmother, and all the other activists coming through to what the language is today about how treaty has been designed, determined by our people here, and then understanding how they're negotiating with the Crown on our own terms. It's incredible. Again, when negotiations come into it, it takes two to tango. So when you see what's coming, just understand that it's the statewide treaty, it's the first one. There's many treaties to come. And just to say that Travis's path, or Dan, as we say in our language down home, the word we're on, is incredible, bringing people along that path as well. It all culminates next Wednesday, June the 18th, from the Shrine of Remembrance. Are they going past Pam Sovereignty?
The night before.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, sweet. And then to the steps of Parliament to deliver the official public record of what Yuruk has gathered through our people's stories, through our people's testimonies, through our people's lived experience, that will become the official public record of Victoria, of what invasion and colonisation has done to us, and what it also has done to Victoria itself. It's time for Victoria to mature. It's time for Victoria to have the first treaty in the state, to have the first treaty in this country, to have the first treaty in the globe for about four decades. It's going to be incredible. We're all proud of it. We're all working towards it. And just proud of these fellas here for it never ends, does it? He's still here fighting. He's educated every day. I got educated a bit more today. He takes that opportunity. See the older cousins, eh? Yeah. Yes. Just to take that opportunity, learn all you can, because what I've learned about Robbie, I've seen him have a good go, but I've also seen him just educate. And it's educating our communities, it's educating the broader community. I love the bikies in the film. That's the best. The first people assembly of Victoria, the next iteration is going to be self-determination. That's for us all. Alongside that is the self-determination of all our traditional owner groups on their own two feet, on their own determination, on their own country, on their own lands and waters, working out what they want from treaty. It's incredible. So I'm so happy that there's a good crowd here tonight in honour of this fella. Get educated.
In our presence tonight, we have Travis Love from the Love family, Damien Bell from the Bell family, one of the deadliest put me in my place aunties, Anna Laura Bell. Yeah, damn. And Robbie's from the Thorpe family, and even when I was doing health stuff, a young uni student, I was doing placements under his mum, who was a volunteer, was actually running everything in mum. That's how we felt. So why I'm saying this is because in European Anglo-Western history stops. The present exists and the future we plan for. In our culture, the history doesn't stop. There is no history. We are who we are, we walk how we walk. So tonight you have representation from families that have been fighting the colonial powers and the constructs that have bound us for generations. I can't stress how incredibly impressive it is for us to witness these incredible family lines, all run by the deadliest Aunties and women in the world. Yep, snapped all of this into line when we needed it. Gave us a type of Irish compliments, you know, where they insult you and then slap you with the compliment as you're walking out. But this is true, Brazen. This is true parenting. All of these women and these Aunties went through a lot for these boys to be raised as these men to bring us this incredible legacy. So, having said that, if we could just start with you, Travis, and work our way back for our brother boys, what would be the one thing you can say that's from your family that's still with you all the time?
I think, not to take away from the word, but I mean, I'm big on the word resistant, you know. I think thinking about my great-grandfather, Ebenezer Lovett, he wasn't one of the famous Lovett brothers that went to war. He came to Melbourne and joined the Communist Party. For me, it's just drop them up. that's the resistance. I've got no more words. Just, you know, that's where it all comes from. That's where the fire comes from. And, you know, and also fighting Gudjimara.
Yeah.
Fighting Gudjimara.
Danny, would you like to share a little bit of you?
Country, it's so important to us. It's our inherent job to look after country, to care for country. Being down home and all over this, the country that is now under this asserted sovereignty of Victoria, but for all the mobs in their country, country means so much. It provides so much of our identity and what we do. And when you feel in trouble, you go to country. And just to be a part of healing country is incredible. The stories we have down home about Lake Conga Tay Rake and its restoration, how that's healed us as a people as well, it's incredible. And in the same breath, I just want to say about the wetlands of water, our own country. I remember looking at the old European maps and seeing how many wetlands was here. Seeing how much has been missing, but still the work of the Wadawurrung people and in working with water, with all their water to bring it back and just to have that feeling. So just, yeah, country, lands and waters.
Resistance, country.
I just want to say that I think at the end of the day, it's about treaty in this country. I really believe that. We've got to get it right. We're entitled to that. And I think it's important that it comes from out of Victoria, because this is the premier state. This is where the first constitution came from. That was basically, Victoria's constitution was basically the Act of Terra Nullius. That's where it came out of here. I think it's really important to establish a treaty here. I want to see a tribute to my ancestors. You know, what happened to them? We owe it to them. We owe it to this land and the spirit of this land. We owe it to our children's children's children. And for me, a treaty, it ends war. So it brings up that issue. It's the end of the war. There was a war here, right?
Mm.
Never ended. So it's right to do this treaty. And it also, a treaty does, creates a basis of coexistence. And that's what we haven't got here. It's one-sided. I want my people to see some justice. And I think it's important for everybody. We're a key part of this, the well-being of this country. We're a key part of the ecology of our people. Our help is really important to everything here. So a treaty is the ultimate, you know, what I want to see happen, a treaty. But international law, huh?
Yes.
So, yes. Treaty is about making peace. And that's important, peace. That's what I like to see, peace in my time.
Amen.
another round of applause for Mr. Robert Carr. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming along to our Be True and Platform Arts, our Warrior, the Robbie Thorpe. Oh, sorry, the story of Robbie Thorpe screening tonight. I guess, you know, in terms of, there's no comments that end this conversation. We have education as a good way of learning more. Resist constructs. If it feels wrong, it's wrong. Question perceptions of truth till you get to the actual factual, evidentiary-based truth. Don't be fearful to speak of truth and justice. It is that type of brainwashing that's kept us and our journey getting stagnated. So let's aim for treaty, keep it truthful. We all live on unceded land, so we have a big journey, and I think we can do it. Thank you all. Thanks for joining us.
Color, as long as you're a true fella, as long as you're a real fella. All the people of different races, with different lives, in different places, it doesn't matter what your name is. We got to have lots of changes. We need more brothers. If we're to make it, we need more sisters. If we're to save it, are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we shout it? Are you the one who's always ready with a helping hand? Are you the one who understands this family plan? Black fella, white fella, yellow fella, any fella, it doesn't matter what you call her. With different lives, in different places, it doesn't matter which religion, it's all the same. When the ship is sinking, we need more brothers. If we're to make it, we need more sisters. If we're to save it, are you the one who's gonna stay?
The guitar you're listening to is in the hands of Jimmy Little, a recording artist who depends greatly on good radio stations that play good and deadly music. Yes, I'm Jimmy Little, and I've been around long enough to know that 3CR play a fantastic variety of Indigenous music. 3CR, 855 on your AM dial. Don't forget now, cool and deadly.
That's right, you're listening to 3CR 855 on your dial, and this is Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence, a show about living in the cities and suburbs and how we can learn to care and share in this world for each other in how we live and maybe tear down some constructs. Maybe in this episode we're tearing down some colonial constructs, we're tearing down some fences, and we're trying to build a better we're trying to build a better world, basically, in our local communities, and care for the planet, if I didn't say that already. So you just heard from a panel that was at the Geelong screening, put on by Platform Arts and Be True to Uluru, of Our Warrior, the story of Robbie Thorpe. We're now going to go to some vox pops I did with the audience after they saw the film and the panel and just what their thoughts and feelings were. If you caught the beginning of the show, you would have heard that I said a number of people actually then got involved with local organising in Geelong after that. So that's pretty exciting. That's exactly what you want out of an event like this. You want people to feel empowered and you want them to feel inspired, so that they can go on and continue to do the educating, the self-educating, and that, you know, becoming accomplices, hopefully, you know, in tackling this monolithic colonial infrastructure. So, yeah, have a listen. This starts with a lovely fella called Shaden.
G'day, my name's Shaden. I'm from Geelong. I'm a Gurangurang man. Yeah, super stoked to have actually been able to see this this film in my extremely busy schedule. I think films like this are really important, especially hearing about stories of people who have stood up for what's right and who have resisted and led the way. It's really important to come to these things and to hear these truths as well. They're really inspiring to listen to, and
speaking of inspiration, have you walked away with and learnt anything or feeling a fire lit or anything like that?
I guess just sort of continuing to speak up and do what's right, you know. Yeah. Like I said, it's a really important thing to do, and these sorts of people pave the way for others to follow. You know, not everyone's a born leader, not everyone's a born quote-unquote activist, but what everyone can do is everyone can do what's right, and follow the lead.
That's a bit of truth. Thank you.
It was a beautiful movie. Years ago in the 80s, I met the Thorpes in Melbourne. I'll admit I was a bit scared of Robbie and his intellect, and he's a beautiful man. He hasn't given up. Yeah. I'm about to go and pay him some rent.
Yeah. Oh, good on you. Thank you.
And good wishes to the whole Thorpe family. And g'day to Mick from Ingrid.
Yeah, no worries. Jamie, could
hey,
I get...
How you going?
Yeah, good. I was wondering if I could get some thoughts. And after seeing the film, how you're feeling? You're feeling inspired? What did you think?
Oh, I thought the film was fantastic, and yes, I am feeling really inspired, and I feel really optimistic that treaty will actually happen. Yeah. And I feel like I just want to support that process, you know, as an ally. Yeah. So, I thought it was great. Yeah. Yep.
And you're with IPAN Geelong. And Southwest Victoria.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
And that, you know, turning up week after week to the roadsides and everything like that, just seeing a film like this, seeing people fight and turn up day after day, like, does this inspire you?
Yeah, totally, totally. And we were really all just devastated by Kumanjai White's, you know, the death in custody, and, you know, it just seems to be escalating. And we really wanted to do something in solidarity with that, but we had to just take a breath and get some advice from local mob. So we've just held off on that, but, you know, it's the same struggle. You know, it's the struggle against settler colonialism, genocide, you know, ongoing dispossession and repression. So, yeah, we see those parallels very clearly.
It was actually Uncle Robbie's first ever protest he attended was a Palestinian one.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, yeah, yeah.
He'll tell you that, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And the solidarity between Aboriginal or First Nations people in Australia and the Palestinians has just been amazing. Yeah. So that's also really inspiring. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'll let you get some food.
Okay, thank you.
It was brilliant. Like, yeah, really, really solid. I've sort of known Robbie for quite a long time, and I've been aware of, you know, what he's been doing. But he's always sort of been, I suppose, not in the mainstream. He's
a little bit too much truth.
Yeah, he's sort of I wouldn't say a fringe, but anyway, it's great to see. You know, he's been in the front line, really, not in the fringe of the front line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks so much for that. Have a good night and enjoy your food.
I will.
Hey, I'm from 3CR Radical Radio, the radio station that hosts Uncle Robbie's radio shows, and I'm pestering people for impressions after the film. Would anyone...
Get
his. Yeah? How you feel after the film?
Well, I would say moved, inspired, and, you know, educated.
And with that inspiration, what do you think you're going to take that in your life?
Well, I think continuing to learn First Nations values and how we can apply that in the way we live is something that's so important to all of us. And, the truth will help inform how we go forward. And, you know, today... just gives you that inspiration to keep learning.
And did you glean anything? Did you learn something from the treaty discussions today?
I learned that we need to, when the truth is delivered, we need to really listen to that, understand that, to be able to work towards treaty. I learned that treaty is peace as well, which is very exciting.
That's true. It's the end of hostilities.
Yes.
Technically never finished here.
That's right.
Oh, thank you for that.
No worries.
Sort of hit home with me. Well, the two things. The one thing that came up about how the young people are taking on that mantle is so encouraging. But also the fact that Uncle Robbie has spent so much time in learning and educating, and how that's really deep work, and how it's there's a responsibility to do that deep work if you're going to do activism and go into battle and resist. It can't be a superficial thing. It has to be a deep thing.
And it's pretty amazing, these family lines, like the Thorpe family, and how Alma, despite being a single mum with seven kids, volunteered 40 years at the Aboriginal Health Service. What do you think about that? That's just amazing.
I don't think we can really relate to that. Like, that's a... a level of sacrifice and a level of strength and endurance, and also incredible generosity of spirit that, you know, we just veg out. We get home from work and we veg out in front of a screen. You know, that's our contribution in a lot of ways. And we don't we just don't relate to women who have lived their lives like that, I don't think.
Thanks for talking to me. Thanks for your insights. And it looks, it smells really good. I should eat some before I go. How are you feeling after seeing that film?
I'm feeling inspired and saddened as well. Just reinforcing what I've sort of begun to learn over the last 10 years, I suppose, about how disaffected and disenfranchised First Nations people are in the country. So it's inspiring and sort of galvanises me to want to participate more walking alongside people to make some kind of contribution to to treaty, I suppose.
A big word in that film was genocide, and we never really hear it in the mainstream press when it comes to First Nations people. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the evidence is pretty strong that it was an attempted genocide. I mean, fortunately, I mean, it was almost successful, but still there's some survivors, although not many. I think arguing the case for genocide, I think that scares the shit out of a lot of white people.
It would, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's probably necessary to put it forward, and, you know, the truth should be known.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. Thank you. How are you feeling after seeing the film?
Actually felt really emotional when they talked about Victoria being the first state where there's going to be a treaty, and it's going to go ahead the day before the final march from the shrine to Parliament.
Yeah,
thought that's really significant. I actually started crying.
Yeah,
yeah, it was really emotional.
Mm. So, why does it make you emotional?
Oh, well, I guess it's just such a massive, big thing, and it's
something that affects all of us, our whole lives, isn't it?
It is. It's a truth which has been suppressed, which is coming out, and it's a massive, just a massive thing. And I don't know why. It's sort of like just a gut reaction, I suppose.
Well, I think we are all connected to it, even if we don't like us white settlers. Like, a lot of people like to pretend it's not happening and disconnect, but it's interesting that white settlers are getting emotional.
We're in a choir called the Geelong Climate Choir, and that's actually a line from one of our songs. We are all connected as one. You know, you know that, don't you, Wendy?
Yeah, yeah. We sing it often.
It's one of our songs. Yeah,
that's the truth. Yeah.
Have truth without, but got to have truth before treaty. I think that's what my takeaway from tonight is.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's got to be done right.
That's what Robbie said, it's got to be done right.
So thank you so much for that.
Thanks.
You're of someone of no importance, so I thought I would ask you a question.
Please.
No, I'm not. After tonight's thing, and Travis's and Robbie, you're just incredible. I'm one of the workers.
Yeah. How are you feeling after the film? A lot of people are using the word inspired tonight. What do you feel when you see that film?
I had the good fortune to see it a couple of weeks ago with all our team members at work at the assembly. Uncle Robbie come and talk to us then. And we also have Mariki talk with us. Tonight, it just reinforces everything.
Yeah.
And those that intellect and wit that Robbie has for communication, the stolen wealth games, the black GST, fire, smoke, all of those things just really ground you back down into the foundations of what culture is and what us as people are there to do for the culture and for the people and the self-determination. I also feel further educated, and I think in the room you feel that from other people as well.
Yeah. We have NAIDOC week coming up, and every year 3CR does the Beyond the Bars broadcast, where Uncle Robbie and other First Nations elders go into prisons and talk to mob in prisons. And one of the things that I always find really heartbreaking listening to is how much they're wanting cultural connection, how much they want an elder to come into the prison system and be with them and do ceremonies and help, like the Torches Initiative with the art projects. Like, it's a very humanizing and different framing that we get, particularly right now in the media landscape when we think about like the NT and stuff. So maybe we could have some thoughts around prisoners currently, the incarcerated at the moment.
Our brothers and sisters that are in the correctional facilities is just as important to us as a community and as an assembly of First Nations people. At assembly, we've had our Treaty Day out concerts. We also have our Treaty Day in concerts. And just over the past couple of weeks, we've had comedians go in too. Oh, yeah. So just to have that humour in there for our brothers and sisters. But, yeah, just when you hear and see the deaths in custodies, your heart immediately breaks and then you get angry and then you have to gather yourself because you think of our brothers and sisters inside and what they must be feeling. You think about how we're going to look after them when we get them out.
Yeah, and we just had that awful report from Dame Phyllis Frost about there was 120-something lockdowns in the space of a year or something.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's meant, you know, for a women's facility, you'd expect a bit more caring.
Yeah.
But incredible. Yeah. That's terrible sad.
And I think it's good that you're doing what you're doing and Uncle Robbie does what he's doing because the so much of the narrative is focused up north and people don't know what's happening in their own backyards is a phrase he would say.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. What's incredible for Robbie's decades of service, of Aboriginal service, for Travis's walk over the past couple of weeks and into next week, just really brings home the backyards that we do have. Not only for us as First Peoples, but for non-Aboriginal people along that track.
Yeah.
And you're talking from Convincing Ground, the first recorded massacre site, along the Western Districts of Victoria, which has its own personality, but to see the numbers come out, you see the generations come out as well is really incredible. So it's good that we're here. And tonight was fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie, and keep on doing the Debbie job.
Thank you. Yes.
And that was Damien Bell closing that set of Vox Pops I did after the screening of Our Warrior, the story of Robbie Thorpe in Geelong. I thought it was very interesting that Vox Pops with that that person about being connected to this this issue. And I think, you know, as someone who is a white colonizer on these lands, I'm a stray alien on these lands, I often reflect about how I'm doing things and my place here in this illegal occupation, and I also think about the people who don't want to have anything to do with this struggle, the people who just sort of switch it off. And I think sometimes I can't psychoanalyze an entire group of people here, but I think for some it might be that they don't want to confront the truth and that they don't want to confront those feelings and those complex issues that come up, so they switch it off, that cognitive dissonance, I guess. And in a way, doesn't that show that they are in fact connected to this? Like, for example, being transgender, there's a lot of transphobes who expel a lot of energy, trying to basically deny our humanity and take away every basic right, you know, that's the agenda of all of these transphobes. And it's quite amazing just like how much energy and time they want to put into hating another person. Like, if you genuinely are of the position of, yeah, that's your thing, I don't really understand gender, whatever, and that's kind of where you sit on it, and I've met people like that, and that genuinely does seem to be their position, they don't really put much more thought into it after that. And sometimes that can lead to a bit of rudeness and stuff, but, you know, it's not so much from a place of hate. But when it comes to these people who devote so much time and energy, why? And I think it's because of our connection through gender. It's the fact that our very existence as transgender people calls into question notions of what gender is and should be, and that
our very existence and our very challenge to that challenges that in everyone. You know, it's not too dissimilar to the feminist history of challenging gender or challenging gender as a construct. I'm getting a bit off topic here. But the point I'm trying to make is that there's a connection. I think that's just something that's a bit profound that come out of those vox pops. And I think if we can somehow find our shared humanity, we can find what is relational between us, what is in common, and connect with each other on that level, then we can really change some minds and sway some people to some degree. It doesn't work in every case, of course, but that's probably in the purview of other shows on this station. So I'll just leave you with those thoughts, and I hope this was a fruitful episode for you. Stay tuned for Think Again. Don't forget to listen back if you didn't catch the whole episode at 3cr.org.au/killyourlawn. Donate to Radiothon. Don't think I'm letting you off the hook. Donate to Radiothon. Doesn't have to be to my show. Smashed my target now. Donate to whoever you like, but make sure you donate before the end of June so you can get that sweet, sweet tax return money. And yeah, also follow us on Instagram. I say us, it's really just me. So kill your, it's 3cr_kill_your_lawn on Instagram. Sometimes I post stuff there, mostly just updates on the show. Yeah, so this is Hayley Hendricks, Spit in the Sink.
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.